And we are back once again with another video today. And today we are doing week 10 of college football roundup. Lincoln, last week was not exactly your favorite week of the year for roundup. You went 0-6 in disagreement games, giving me the lead back once again, as we talked about over the weekend. No lead is truly safe in roundup. What are your thoughts heading into week 10 as you're down by just a game? But this is kind of the separation time period for both of us.
Yeah, it was a pretty rough week. You know, Syracuse and Virginia Tech, I should have saw that one coming with Virginia Tech. Then with Clemson, I don't even know what goes on with that game. How do you even pick a game with them? Because it's kind of the same thing with you, like you were talking about with Notre Dame, with USC. It's like, if I pick against them, then they're going to win. But if I pick them, then they're going to lose.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Kentucky, Tennessee, down to the wire. And then Duke, Louisville, I expected Duke to have more offense than they did. And I expected the defense to hold up better, but obviously that did not happen.
Any offense would have been better than what they had. They literally put up nothing.
Yeah, yeah, shutout.
Any final thoughts as we kind of go in before we go into like any recap? I know you kind of addressed that, but we'll save that for the end. Why don't we start off with the big three games this week to little mix it up, partly because of what game one is, Notre Dame at Clemson. Why don't you give us your thoughts on the season as a whole for Clemson, and then on the game specifically?
I really don't even know why you put this one as a big game, other than the fact that I like Clemson and you like Notre Dame, because this is not a big game at all. This is not a big game at all. Washington, USC is definitely a bigger game. I mean, half these games on here are a bigger game because Clemson's just been so bad this year. You know, it's like you watch one play and you're like, wow, this offense looked really good on that play. And then you watch another one and you're like, gosh, I miss DJ.
it's
just funny to me. As bad as DJ was last year, we were in a chance to go to the college football playoff going into rivalry week before the South Carolina. If we beat South Carolina, we're in the playoff. And as bad as DJ was, that was the play. He about had that team in the playoff last year. Now you look at this team now with Cade and – I mean, are we even going to make a freaking bowl game?
It's possible that you lose to Georgia Tech, and I don't know. You may lose to Georgia Tech and beat North Carolina.
I really don't know what that North Carolina the last 2 weeks for them has. I don't know if that means, all right, well, now we're going to lose to Georgia Tech and North Carolina, or if that means we're going to beat both of them. I really don't know. But I mean, this Clemson team, you never know what to expect from them. I mean, I think Clemson loses by about, you know, at least 10 points. But at the same time, this could be the same team that comes out like they did against Florida State and makes this a game, especially with it being at home. So I have no idea, but I don't really see a way possible for Clemson to win. I think it's been a disappointing season overall, but you know, I'm still confident in Dabo and the coaching staff. Well, some of the coaching staff. By some of the coaching staff, I mean the defensive coaching staff and Garrett Riley, to go along with Dabo. But you know, I think that we're still growing and maturing, and I think that there's still a lot of positives you can get out of the season.
Well, the one thing that I would say when it comes to this season, when you're looking at this game particularly, you're looking at a matchup that, just simply put, Clemson just has not been able to develop any sort of identity all season long.
We have an identity, and that's turned the ball over.
Yeah, I guess.
Don't worry. We've made sure we've got an identity.
Well, you definitely don't want to play Notre Dame's defense, particularly one man named Xavier Watts, because if I would put the over-under on Xavier Watts' turnovers at 3.5.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance we throw two or three interceptions and fumble four or five times.
Yeah, this Notre Dame defense, and this is the reason, like the Notre Dame offense has not looked great, but the one thing that Notre Dame's offense has done is been able to convert the turnovers that the Notre Dame defense makes. And that's something that Clemson hasn't done. The defense for Clemson hasn't gotten a ton of turnovers, but Clemson just hasn't been able to capitalize as much on those turnovers or anything like that.
Forget the offense turning the turnovers into points. We can't even get a turnover.
Yeah. It is a struggle overall. But when you're looking at this program, I think one of the biggest issues right now is Dabo just looks like a crybaby at this point. It's okay to complain when you're on top and you're like just better than everybody else and stuff like that. When Dabo complains about the transfer portal or NIL, when he's the best, when he's one of the best coaches in America. But now when you're losing, now it just looks like you're a big crybaby. And I have kind of like an issue with that because now it just seems like Dabo is just very defensive. And it like, this is just a bad scenario getting worse and worse and worse because every week it seems like there's something about Dabo either not like, it's not his fault for saying what he did in the Miami game after saying Cade Klubnik, it wasn't an RPO, but like, it just looks bad because it looks like you're throwing your player under the bus. After the NC State game, you had the smart.
Okay, but listen, but with this, yeah, he's throwing him under the bus there. What was everybody wanting and complaining and crying about last year with DJ? Was that all Dabo does is defend him? All Dabo does is stick up for him. So now, whenever he calls his guy out, he didn't bash Cade. All he said was he was just trying to do too much, that wasn't a call for him to run the ball.
Well, and this is what I'm saying. And I'm not saying I'm in the majority or I'm like in that spot where it needs to be that Dabo can't say that Dabo can't say Cade needs to be better and that Cade needs to stop doing too much. But like at the end of the day, it's just a bad look. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying I'm for that or like I'm proposing that as like that Dabo is just this biggest crybaby, but like, it definitely looks different when you're winning compared to when you're losing.
Well, yeah, I mean, everything looks different, but I think another thing too is that a lot of people in the national media like to just put this perspective on him and change the narrative on him when they don't even know anything about the guy. They don't even half of them, like, they just take so many quotes just out of context. Nobody looks at the situation. Like the joke he made about the sports psychiatrist being on suicide watch. Those are people he works with every day for the last who even knows how many years. Those reporters are people that interview him and talk to him or at practice and interact with him every single day. So for the national media to take that and be offended by what he said to people that they don't even know the relationship he has with them. They don't know anything about any of those people. And they put a narrative on him. I mean, I think, yes, he has complained some. And the stuff that he said in some of his press conferences about, you know, we're so many plays away from being undefeated. Like, that's, one, it's wrong. We're so many plays away from being undefeated. But that's so many plays is like a game and a half.
Yeah.
And then, like, another thing, they just constantly bash him over the transfer portal. What would the transfer portal have helped us with this year? We're not going to go out and get a quarterback. We're not going to go out and get it. But what does a wide receiver matter? We're not going to go out and get a quarterback. What was a wide receiver we would have gone out and gotten this year?
You could have gone after a Jaheim Bell, or you could have gone after, like, you could have gone after. I don't know who you.
Jaheim Bell wasn't coming to Clemson. He's not even a wide receiver. He's a running back slash tight end type guy.
But he's a receiving target. You just need somebody. Like, neither of your running backs have any wide receiver capabilities, at least on a like good level. Like, and I don't know. I don't know what I would have done. But, like, I think you're just putting yourself in a rough spot, particularly when it comes to the offensive end, that, like, this team, offensively, the offensive line has never been a particular strong point of the team. It's always been the weakest unit of the offense.
So tell me who we could have gone and got.
Well, I'm not saying you could have gone and got it. The offensive line is not the issue, in my opinion. The issue is that you have failed to be able to develop a quarterback.
I mean, I wouldn't say we failed to develop a quarterback. He's in his first year starting.
Yeah, but like, I get it. But like, this is another quarterback that like, I'm sorry, but there is no development of Trevor Lawrence. I'm not going to take any like, oh, we developed Trevor or anything like that. Like Trevor was Trevor. So like it's been, and I could say you kind of developed Watson a little bit. Obviously he was a very talented guy, and I think that like he had a lot of skills, but I think you developed him. But like you haven't developed a quarterback in a long time.
Kelly Bryant, ring a bell?
That was not development. You threw him out to the wolves.
What are you even talking about?
Kelly Bryant was not developed.
Okay, you can just move on to whatever you want to now, because you don't even know. You want to come on here and talk about stuff you don't even know about.
You know I'm
Kelly
right.
Bryant was 100% developed.
He wasn't developed very well. Like, here's the thing, is that when you look
at this...
How was
he not developed very well? He was a quarterback that played very good in his year with us that he started. He took us to the college football playoff. How was that not very good?
He took you to the college football playoff because you played in the weakest ACC. You played nobody. You beat an Auburn team 6-14 that year. You beat that Auburn team because you were good on defense. You beat those ACC teams because you were good on defense. Kelly Bryant was not the reason you won football games.
He was a good quarterback that was developed from, because he was not a very high guy coming in.
Kelly Bryant was a four-star.
He was a three-star.
Mid to high-level four-star.
He was a three-star.
I'm looking this up. Either way, let's move on.
I've got it pulled up right now. He was a three-star.
Okay, so let's move on to the next game, because otherwise we're going to be here forever.
No. Hold on. You're not going to just say a bunch of random stuff and then try and move on from it.
I'm not saying a bunch of random stuff.
That's not how it works. That's not how it works.
Lincoln, I have – on 247, it has him as a four-star quarterback.
As a four-star transfer prospect, which means – you know what that means right there? That shows Clemson developed him. He came in as a three-star. They listed him as a four-star transfer.
I don't care. Dude, I don't care what –
now you don't even care about it.
When you look at the composite –
talking about stuff you didn't even have a clue
about. The composite score has him as a four-star.
You came on here talking about stuff you didn't even have a clue about.
That is not true at all. Either way, we have to move on if we're going to get through any of the rest of these games. LSU at Alabama. What are your thoughts on this one as Bayou Bryan trying to get another SEC West title?
By the way, we both took Notre Dame in that last game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we both took Notre Dame. Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm going with Alabama here. I mean, I think LSU has a good offense. I think Alabama has a weaker offense. But I think that the two strengths play together, the two weaknesses play together. Whose strength is better? I think Alabama's defense is good enough to get some stops. And I think the weakness of LSU's defense is so much worse than the weakness of Alabama's offense. I think LSU's going to have a really hard time stopping them. I think that Alabama's defense, yes, they're not going to stop LSU every single time, but they're also not going to give up 50. I think they'll give up about, 31 points, something like that, 27. And I think Bama can score 34. Against this LSU defense. So I'm going with Bama. I think that they can score the points to beat LSU. And I think at the end of the game, whenever it's closer, that they're going to be able to get a stop on this LSU offense, and LSU's defense just won't be able to do it. And not only that, just to add on to it, it is at Alabama.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, just so you know, Rivals ranks Kelly Bryant as a four-star as well. Then looking at this game, I have Alabama. I just can't trust LSU to be able to win back-to-back years and be able to win in Tuscaloosa. There's too many factors going against them that, like, Alabama's not the best team that they've been in a while. Like, this is one of the worst Nick Saban teams that he's had in a while. And that's saying a lot. Like, Nick Saban has had a lot of really, really good teams. And this team probably will make the SEC championship, to be honest, which is kind of crazy to think about. But when you're looking at this game, you got to go Bama. Speaking of SEC titles, SEC East title, Missouri at Georgia. This is pretty much the determiner of the SEC East, who's going to win it. Missouri, number 14 in the country, obviously one of the shockers of this year. What are your thoughts on this Missouri team as Brady Cook and Eli Drinkwitz looks to get not only a statement win, but a signature win?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to be a solid game for a little bit, but I think that Georgia wins the game. We've seen it against Kentucky. We've seen it against Florida. Now, I know Missouri's better than both of them, but, you know, Georgia, they screw around with these teams that when it's not big games, and then they come into the big game, and everybody's like, oh, this is when Georgia's going to lose, and they just get absolutely stomped. You know, I mean, Georgia just absolutely stomps the other team. Like, that's just what they do. Now, I don't think they're going to come out and beat Missouri by 20-something points like they did against Florida last week. But I think at the end of the game, it'll be like a 10-point win.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I don't know if I'd call it like a 10-point win. I think it's going to be between 7 and 14, like between one touchdown and two touchdowns. So, like, kind of a 10-point win. But, like, I don't know. I think when looking at this game, Georgia lost Brock Bowers, which by far and away is their best receiving target, which really hurts. But you do get a more healthy Ladd McConkey, so that definitely is helpful. I don't know. Like, this, looking at this game, like, Georgia has struggled against teams that they're not, just like you said, and then they've beaten teams that, like, Kentucky was a team that they thought, some people thought could beat them, and they absolutely curb-stomped Kentucky. I think the final score was 52-7. Like, it was just a beatdown. So when you're looking at this matchup, when you're looking at this game, you're looking at a Georgia team that just plays well, plays up to their opponents, but also plays down to them. So I expect Missouri to play decent in this game, but I don't know if Missouri can offensively keep up with Georgia when it comes down to it, because I think that Georgia's defense will slow down the Missouri offense a little bit. Looking on to the next game, we have TCU at Texas Tech. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, this is an interesting game. It's on a Thursday night for one. Both these teams coming off a bye. And, you know, both these teams coming off losses before the bye week. Texas Tech lost by 3 to BYU, 27-24. And TCU got absolutely murdered by Kansas State. I believe it was like 41-3 was the final score. 48-3, something like that. So I've kind of went back and forth on this game a little bit. But I think I'm going to take Texas Tech. It's just a Thursday night. It's a weird game to pick. It's at Texas Tech, so that's the main reason I'm going with them. Not only that, just the fact that TCU's defense has been awful this year.
Yeah, I think TCU, not the greatest team in the world this year. Definitely not world beaters, but I do have the Horned Frogs in this matchup. I think the Horned Frogs just have a good team. I shouldn't say a good team. Good, I take that back. They have a good enough team to beat Texas Tech. I think that this team is just good enough in order to win this game. So I'm going to go with the Horned Frogs in this matchup. Heading on to the next matchup, Arkansas at Florida. Two teams that have had their points of struggle this year. Sam Pittman definitely on the decline and on the hot seat as well. What are your thoughts on this game as Florida and Billy Napier looks to get bowl eligible with their sixth win of the season?
Yeah, this is a huge game for Florida over Arkansas because, I mean, Florida's not going to have very many chances left to make a bowl game if they lose this one. The rest of their schedule the rest of the way. Next week they get, or I guess the next week after Arkansas, after the Arkansas game, they play LSU on the road, Missouri on the road, Florida State at home. So this is definitely a huge game. They need to win this one to get bowl eligible. You know, this is because I don't know if they win another game. I really don't know if they win a game after this week. So they're going to really need to win this one to get that bowl eligibility, because if they don't do that, then Napier could be in a little bit of trouble. You still there? We lost him. All right, so I'll keep going. He also took Florida in that game. With his next game for us is Ohio State at Rutgers. And this is an interesting matchup, I think, because Rutgers is actually playing really solid right now. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Rutgers is a team that's looked really good so far this season. They're 6-2 and they've played some really good football. You know, obviously they're not out here beating a bunch of great teams, but they beat the Virginia Tech team in week 3.
Who has really started to come on as of late? They played really great as of later. They beat a solid Michigan State team. They beat Indiana, who gave Penn State a push.
So, you know, Rutgers, they haven't gone out there and just beaten a bunch of great teams. Like, they lost to Michigan 31-7 and to Wisconsin 24-13. But they've played some good football. They're 6-2 on the season. And, you know, this is definitely a game that they can push Ohio State in potentially, because Ohio State has struggled. You know, they've had their struggles. But at the end of the day, you can't pick against Ohio State. It's just, you can't pick Rutgers to beat them. It's just not going to happen. It's just not something that you can pick. So, yes, I'm going with Ohio State in that one, as it looks like he's back.
Yeah, so I agree. I think Rutgers probably will finish the season 6-6, maybe 7-5. But they have a tough schedule. You have to play Ohio State. You got to play Iowa. You got to play Maryland. You got to play Penn State. So you have a tough sledding the rest of the way. I got Ohio State in this game. I think it could be a little bit closer than expected, but maybe 2 quarters, maybe 2.5, just because I think Ohio State's offense is generally pretty slow to start out games. So I could see a closer game, but there's no way I'm picking the Scarlet Knights to win this game. Heading on to the next matchup, Nebraska at Michigan State. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, so this is an interesting game here for sure, Nebraska at Michigan State. You know, Nebraska's they've been playing better as of recently, especially last week in that game against Purdue. But this is a team who has kind of been up and down and throughout the season. And so I don't really know a whole lot to make of them, but Michigan State's just in a mess. It seems like every other year they're dealing with some kind of lawsuit or some kind of scandal or some kind of investigation. So, you know, I think Michigan State is a mess right now. I'm going with Nebraska on the road. I think that they're the better football team. And I think that Matt Rhule picks up another win. I think the Cornhuskers get the win in this one.
Yeah, I agree. I think Nebraska gets another win, their fourth conference win of the year. They're starting to look like they may compete with the Big Ten title as the Big Ten West title, or I shouldn't say the Big Ten title, but the Big Ten West title. They have a shot. Nebraska did lose to Michigan, but that's a very credible loss. And you lost to who was the other team they lost to in conference?
They weren't the one that lost.
No, Minnesota.
It was Minnesota that lost to Northwestern.
Yeah,
Nebraska
Minnesota.
Lost to Minnesota? Okay.
Yeah. So, really, you still have a shot?
Yeah, whenever you look at the standings, Iowa is 3-2 in the conference, Minnesota's 3-2 in the conference, and Nebraska is 3-2. So is Wisconsin. So, like, right now you got a 4-way tie right there. I believe Iowa's at the top, but I don't know if this is in if they just put them in alphabetical order.
They put it in overall record order, but that's not the tiebreaker.
I'm just looking on Google. Yeah, I see that now. It's an overall record. Yeah, that's not the tiebreaker. So obviously Minnesota has the tiebreaker over Nebraska. I don't think Nebraska, Wisconsin have played yet.
No, they have not. They played second of last week, and then that's Iowa and Nebraska thinking. Played the last week.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that they played the last week. So, I mean, Nebraska is definitely a team that, as of right now, you know, they control their own destiny. They control what's going to happen for them the rest of the season. So, it'll be exciting to see if they can make a push.
As long as Minnesota doesn't win out, but I doubt
that's
they
true.
Will.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
that's true.
I got Nebraska in this game as well. I think the Cornhuskers have played well, and Michigan State is awful. Moving on to the next one, because there isn't really much more to say, A&M at Ole Miss.
I'm a little surprised by this game and the fact that Ole Miss is only favored by 3 points in this game as of right now. I really thought that that was interesting, but, you know, I think that this is a game where A&M – solid defense, actually, matter of fact, really good defense. But the offense is still struggling to come around. They have a much better offense. It's going to be hard for A&M to stop it. I think Ole Miss can stop Texas A&M's offense. So I think if Ole Miss can score, you know, 38 points in this game, 31, something like that, which is definitely possible, I think that Ole Miss can win this football game.
I agree. I think A&M has the shot in this game. If this game was being played in College Station, I'm probably picking the Aggies. But with it being played in Oxford, I am going to go with the Rebs to win this game just because of home field advantage. But A&M, they have a shot in this game. They truly do. Heading on to the next game, Army at Air Force for the Commander-in-Chief, Chofi. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, this is another interesting game here. Because obviously you want to pick Air Force, you know, Air Force is the favorite, but it's one of these games between these military academies, and you just sit here and think, what in the heck is going to happen with this? Especially when you look at it, Air Force is favored by 18.5 points. So it's definitely something that like nobody believes in the Army. They just came off of, I believe they lost to UMass last week. Mm-hmm. So like it's Army is a struggling team, but they could potentially beat Air Force. Anything's possible when you put these military academies against each other, but I'm going with Air Force to win the game. I just think they're the better football team. I think that they have the explosive play aspect to their offense that Army and Navy both don't have. And I just think Air Force is a better football team than both of them. I think that Air Force is potentially going to be the team that represents the Group of Five in the New Year Six. I think they're definitely well deserving as of right now. So that'll be exciting to watch. But yeah, I'm going with Air Force.
Yeah, I agree. I got Air Force in this matchup. I think that Air Force. If I was putting money on this game, I definitely would put it on Army plus 18. But I think when you're looking at the overall winner, you definitely have to go with Air Force. There's no doubt in my mind Air Force wins this game. But I think that they keep it closer than 18 because, well, like you said, it's military academies and they almost always do.
One question on this one real quick, looking at the betting side. The over-under's 33. What would you play there?
The over.
Yeah, that's what I think I would go with because I feel like Air Force is going to score, you know, 20, 24 points.
Agree.
And I feel like Army can put together 10.
I think my score would be like 27 to 14, personally.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like I think mine would be 27-13.
Yeah.
Score prediction. But it's funny that they're favored by 18.5 because it honestly is a real possibility that they don't even score 18.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
They could win this game 17-3 or something.
Oh, yeah. Heading on to the next matchup, James Madison at Georgia State, a massive matchup here in the Sun Belt. As James Madison, another one of those teams that could represent the Group of Five in the New Year's Six Bowl if it wasn't for stupid rules where you have to wait a couple of years before you can go into a bowl game, and it's only their second year on, I guess, probation or something? I don't know what. It's the dumbest thing in the world.
Yeah, I don't even know what you call it, but it's, gosh, it's just stupid.
It's stupid because James Madison, honestly, if they're undefeated, I think that they should be the team representing, not Air Force, honestly. But again, they won't do it either way.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Air Force ends undefeated because generally those schools lose a game that they shouldn't. But either way, that is way off the board. James Madison at Georgia State, big game here, especially for Georgia State, who is playing for a chance to get into that conference championship game, of which I don't think James Madison can make.
Yeah, I don't think James Madison can make this. As Georgia State needs this win. They lost to Georgia Southern last week, and so they're coming in now to play James Madison. And you look on the other side at Georgia Southern, they lost to James Madison. So right now, if James Madison could make the championship, well, obviously they have the lead at 5-0 in the conference. Georgia Southern's 3-1 below them. Georgia State's 3-2. That doesn't really matter if Georgia Southern loses another one. So, like, Georgia State has to continue to win, because whenever you look at it, this Georgia Southern team has the tiebreaker over them, and their loss in the conference really doesn't matter other than the fact of just the record, because, like you said, James Madison can't make the conference championship, and that is the only conference loss for Georgia Southern. So this is a huge game for Georgia State. It's at Georgia State. You know, it's going to be a very interesting game. Two very good teams in the group of five. This is definitely a game that people should turn into and watch a little bit. But you look at James Madison and what they've done. Like, they struggled last week against Old Dominion. They struggled the week before against Marshall. I know they ended up beating them 20-9, but that game was 7-7 for a while. So you know, is James Madison playing around like some of these teams, like Oklahoma's been, and North Carolina was for a little bit before they started to lose? Is this the week James Madison goes down? You know, it definitely could be, but they're just so good, and they're so physical. They're so much more bigger and physical than a lot of these Group of Five schools are. And so I think that James Madison gets the win. I think that defense and that those lines of scrimmage are going to be the difference in this game for them.
Yeah, I agree. I think James Madison gets the win. I just think Georgia State has a few issues that they need to deal with. And I do think with a loss here, that pretty much eliminates Georgia State from Sun Belt championship contention, because that would mean Georgia Southern would have to lose four games because of the tiebreaker, which they will not do. Georgia State has to win this game, but I just don't think they do. I think the Dukes get it done with getting a win over the Panthers. Heading on to the next matchup, Lincoln, I don't think this game it needs any more introduction, as it is the last Big 12 matchup between these two teams. It's Bedlam. Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State, what are your thoughts?
Again, another one of those games, what do you even do? Oklahoma coming off the loss to Kansas. This game's being played at Oklahoma State. It's a rivalry game. Who in the heck do you pick? I'm taking Oklahoma to bounce back. I think they're the better football team. And I think that they're going to have the motivation still to come back out. I think Venables will get his guys motivated, and I think Oklahoma will come out and beat the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think that Oklahoma State and Mike Gundy, they've really surprised me this year. Alan Bowman has been better at quarterback than I expected. And this team, I just think Oklahoma State, they're just ready to play this game. I think that they are going to care about this game a lot more than Oklahoma will, almost, because it is just like it feels like your big brother's leaving you or stuff like that. Like, I just think that this is just an issue where Oklahoma State is just going to be ready to play this game. And it isn't that Oklahoma isn't, but I just think that Oklahoma's playoff chances end here in Bedlam. So heading on to the next matchup, another one that's a little bit interesting, Auburn at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. Vanderbilt has been a solid football team this season, but they haven't been able to just quite get there against any of these teams. You know,
they have passed for more than 100 passing yards, though.
Yes, they have. They have. But Auburn had a good game passing the ball. Was it last week that it was?
Or let me check. Been the week before. You can keep talking. One second.
Yeah, it was one of the games. I believe it was last week against Mississippi State.
Peyton yeah, Thorne they passed for like 230 yards. Wow, that is a lot
230,
of
230,
okay. They might as well pass for 500.
Yeah, against Vanderbilt, this is going to be a team that obviously they're going to be able to throw the football on, I think. They're also going to be able to run the ball on. But Vanderbilt does have a pretty solid offense, but I think just at the end of the day that I just think that Auburn's a little bit of a better football team. Is by the way, I went back and looked at the Ole Miss game. Peyton Thorne threw for exactly 100 yards in that one.
Oh wow, yeah. I didn't even know that.
Just 9 completions.
Auburn is going to be the victor in this game. Vanderbilt, not a terrible team, not as bad as they have been, but they got some things that they need to improve on. Obviously, losing Ray Davis was a massive loss to Kentucky, but I think Auburn gets the win here. Kansas at Iowa State. Does Kansas fall off the cliff when it comes to their big bubble? Does their bubble get burst by the Cyclones?
Not by Iowa State. Is Iowa State, let me look at the betting side of this game, see if what plays the Iowa State players might be wanting to make. As I look, Kansas is actually plus 2.5 on the
road. Wow.
So maybe
Iowa State's actually ahead of them in the conference. They're 4-1.
Yeah. So maybe the Cyclones, maybe they jump onto the Kansas money line here. But I think that Kansas wins the football game. I think they are a better football team. I think Iowa State is solid, but they don't have the offense, I feel like, to keep up with Kansas. Because after watching that game and the way Jason Bean played last week, he can definitely beat a team in Iowa State.
Yeah, definitely. I think that when I'm looking at this game, I think Kansas gets to win. I think the Cyclones, I just don't think they have it in them to be able to beat Kansas. Though, here's the thing that I keep going back and forth on this game. Like, you would think that Kansas is going to come a little bit back to earth after Jason Bean having the game of his life against Oklahoma, and a lot of things going right with this game on the road. It is tempting to pick Iowa State. It really is. It really is. But I am going to go with the Cyclones I am going to go with the Jayhawks to beat the Cyclones. Next matchup, Kentucky at Miss State.
And real quick, going back to that one, Jalen Daniels he's questioned. He could potentially play in this game.
Yes.
Against Iowa State, because he warmed up pregame for the Oklahoma game, but he didn't go. Jason Bean got the start. So he's cleared to play. It's just a matter of when he actually will. But yes, Kentucky at Mississippi State. I'm going with Kentucky. They're just a better football team. Good luck, Mississippi State, stopping the offense, and good luck trying to score very much on their defense. Mississippi State has been such a disappointment, and it really shows you just how good of a coach Mike Leach really was.
Yeah.
From what this team looked like last year. They didn't
the
lose
offense
a whole lot
is
of,
just pathetic. They
didn't
beat
lose
Arkansas
a whole lot of
6-3.
Yeah, and then you look at the offense, and I think the biggest thing to look at is Will Rogers this year compared to Will Rogers last year.
Yeah.
It's just night and day difference. So that, I mean, it really shows what a huge impact Mike Leach really had and really meant to this team. And they've struggled without him. But yeah, I'm going with Kentucky. I just don't see a way for Mississippi State to win.
Yeah, completely agree. I think Mississippi State is just like they're a struggling program. They probably finished either second place in the West or second place to the bottom in the West, but probably or even in the bottom. But I think Arkansas is going to be the bottom dwellers of the West this year. I got Kentucky winning the game. Michigan at Purdue, the upset maker in the Purdue Boilermakers, and Jeff Brohm is gone. Otherwise, I'd be very interested to see this game. After the scandal kind of broke with Michigan, how does that affect this game? But overall, I think Michigan is in a good spot.
I don't really think it affects anything because I don't think that they need Purdue signs. As a matter of fact, Michigan could probably go get Purdue their signs and tell them what they're running every play and still win the game. So I'm not worried about Michigan at all. I think that they're going to win this game. And I think that they they win it pretty handily. Like you said, Jeff Brohm and his magic is not there. Else it would be a little bit interesting, especially with this game being at Purdue.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that they have what it takes to do anything with it.
Oh, for sure. I agree. Michigan gets the win. I think that they get it probably by 2+ touchdowns. But I do think Purdue keeps it close for a little bit because I think Purdue has an offensive capability, and Michigan has struggled from time to time when they're really not supposed to. So I think that that could be an issue. Speaking of teams that are struggling from time to time that aren't supposed to, Kansas State at Texas. Texas loses Quinn Ewers in this matchup. They didn't have him last week. What do you think this does to a Texas team that is competing for not only a Big 12 title but also a national championship, or I should say a playoff bid?
Yeah, you know, I think that this is a good Texas team when fully healthy. The problem is they aren't fully healthy. And this Kansas State team, they come at you very physical, ready to go. And, like, they came out the gates against TCU. They had already ran for, like, 140 yards in the first quarter on them. So, they can switch it up. They got Howard at quarterback, and they got that Johnson guy at quarterback also, who could come out, and they throw so many different looks at you. They're just so much more physical than I think Texas is. And I think that with Malik Murphy, I think that, you know, he's probably going to turn the football over. He did last week. The team just kind of had a turnover bug last week a little bit. And I think that happens again potentially in this game. Kansas State, pretty solid defense. And I also think Kansas State is just a better coach team in this matchup as well. So I'm going with the Wildcats.
Couldn't agree more. I think the Wildcats have a specialty when it comes to upsetting those Big 12 opponents like Texas and Oklahoma. I'm going to go with Kansas State to win this matchup. Even though Kansas State did struggle early on in the year against Oklahoma State and against Missouri with losses there. But obviously those teams that were thought to be disappointing losses actually turn out to not be the worst losses in the world. Boise State at Fresno State. The Bulldogs of Fresno State have had a really good season, possibly a big Mountain West title appearance against Air Force. Do you think that they're able to secure a win and secure this side of the division?
Yeah, I think they beat Boise State. I liked Boise State coming into the season a little bit better than I did Fresno State. But Boise State is just, they haven't quite had everything together this season. And I think that defense for Fresno State is just so stout that they're another team like we were talking about with James Madison. You don't really see these big physical football teams in the Group of Five, but Fresno State's definitely one of those teams, and I think they're going to come ready to punch Boise State right in the mouth from the start. They usually start fast as well. So I think that, you know, this defense is going to be very tough on Boise State. I think that I think that their offense is going to come ready to play. And not only that, but you add in the fact it's at Fresno State. Give me the Bulldogs.
Oh, 100%. I think that with this game, you're looking at a Fresno State team that just is playing well. I think that this team gets to 8-1 this week. And it's kind of interesting. They're actually playing better with the loss of their star QB from last year and Jake Haener. So I think that now that it's kind of an interesting kind of feel or concept. I don't know what you would call it, but I think Fresno State gets another win and another step closer to a possible Mountain West title game appearance. Speaking of interesting games, UCLA at Arizona. You got a red hot team when it comes to the Wildcats of Arizona, and you got a UCLA team that has just, in my opinion, been frauds all season long and really should not be ranked.
Yeah, I mean, UCLA has some good wins. They've played some good football. The problem is that offense is just so inconsistent. Who knows what's going to happen with it. They went from, I can't remember the guy's name that started at first for them, and then they went to Dante Moore, and they benched him. So it's just
Ethan Garbers is the name.
Garbers, that's right. Yep, they went from Garbers to Moore. Now they bench Moore. They're back to Garbers. And Garbers threw two or three picks in the game against Colorado. I know Travis Hunter had two. I think Shiloh Sanders might have had one also.
He threw two.
Two, okay. Yeah, so, you know, it's just he threw two picks, and they haven't really looked good offensively. They scored 28 points on a Colorado defense that they should have pushed around and just drove down the field on them. And so I think that this UCLA team, like you said, is just you know, they're kind of frauds. I mean, they do have some nice wins, but Arizona, man, red hot. They've played great the last 3 or 4 weeks. I think that they that especially at home, I think that they roll UCLA. I think they beat them, you know, probably 40 something to 20.
Yeah, I think that this Arizona team gets a big win out west. I think that this Arizona team, they won't win the Pac-12. They won't, like, compete for a spot in the title game just because they have two losses in conference. But this team could very easily finish the season with four straight wins, with wins over UCLA, Colorado, Utah, and Arizona State. I could very easily see four wins to end the season, which would put them in a great spot to finish 9-0. Or 9-3. I'm sorry, not 9-0. 9-3,
for sure.
And possibly be the Oregon State of last year.
I mean, you look at them right as of right now. At the worst, they go 2-2 in that stretch, probably losing to. If you have them at their worst, they'd lose to UCLA most likely and Utah. But if they win this week, at worst they're finishing 3-1 in that stretch, and probably 4-0. I just don't think Utah has any offense without Cam Rising. So I think Arizona's in a great spot. I think they've been not a really surprise team. You know, everybody had them making a bowl game this year, but 9-3, nobody really expected that.
Yeah, for sure. Then you have Oregon State at Colorado. Obviously, Oregon State coming off the disappointing loss to Arizona. What are your thoughts about this game?
Yeah, the disappointing loss, but they played a good game. It's not like they got blown out or anything. I think that Oregon State is just way too physical for this Colorado team. I think they're just going to absolutely bully them and pound them. So give me the Beavers, I think it's not even particularly close either.
No, I agree. I think Oregon State wins this game probably by 20-plus points. Then finally you have Washington at UCL or USC. What are your thoughts on this game, as Caleb Williams has – this game really may determine whether or not he is able to salvage his career at USC, because this team is falling and falling fast.
Oh, 100%. They definitely are. They're falling fast. At Lincoln Riley's kind of – both the Riley brothers having rough years this year, with Garrett at Clemson and Lincoln at USC. Both of them having bad years. But, you know, I think that Washington, yes, they've kind of screwed around the last 2 weeks with Arizona State and, who else were they messing around?
Cal.
Cal, that's right.
They should have lost that Cal game.
Yeah, they should have lost the Arizona State game, too. They went into the fourth quarter down 7-0.
Well, those protesters at Cal Berkeley had a better defense than anybody played on the rest of the field.
That was the USC game.
The USC game. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it was Cal for Washington.
When Cal played USC, those protesters last week.
Yeah. I know that. I'm saying Washington struggled the last 2 weeks. I know one of them was against Arizona State. I can't remember who else they played.
Oh, one second. It was Stanford. It was Stanford.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've struggled there, but every team has those games. I mean, you go and look at every season of every national champion. They all have those games against those teams where they should have beat them by 40 plus points. They just come out and messed around with them. So that, you know, that's just kind of those games. I think they're a much better team than USC is. I think that they dominate USC. I think they put up a ton of points on them. That defense is not going to be able to stop this offense. But you look also, Washington's defense isn't the best. I think USC can put some points up as well. But I think also I trust Washington's defense to get a turnover or a stop more than I trust this USC defense to do that. So give me the Huskies. I think they win by 13.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Trojans in this matchup. I think with their backs up against the wall, with them not being favorites and so much pressure on them, I think that USC is going to do a little bit better than expected. I think USC gets the upset win. And with this game not being – if this game was in Washington, no doubt I'm picking Washington. But with this game being at Southern Cal, it hurts Southern Cal – or it hurts Washington, because you don't have home field advantage. A home field advantage is very important for this Washington team. as playing in Washington, that's a tough environment. That's a low-key, very tough environment that a lot of people don't think about.
It is for sure. But also, with the way the USC team has played recently, I mean, they already struggle to fill out the stadium. Are they even going to have, like, what is their team?
They're not going to have a very good home field environment, yeah, but at least, like, you don't have to be playing at Washington.
Yeah, I think that's just kind of like a neutral effect here. Like, it helps USC in the sense that they don't have to go to a tough environment. It hurts Washington because they don't have a tough environment. But at the same time, USC's hurt by their own home field advantage. And
the lack thereof.
And it doesn't matter. Yeah, lack thereof. And it doesn't hurt Washington because it's basically irrelevant.
Yeah. So that's going to wrap up today's podcast. As make sure you hit that subscribe button down below on all three channels, the Football Expert, the American Football Network, and College Football Roundup, as we've gained a few subscribers recently. So happy to hear that news as we inch our way closer to 50 subscribers. That's all for today's video, and as always, see you next week.